Good afternoon. It is 1 p.m. My name is Mara Rosales. I'm the Vice Chair of the Commission. Commission Chair Miguel Bustos has asked that I chair this meeting because I think his voice is about to go momentarily. This is the regular meeting of the Commission on Community Investment and Infrastructure, the successor agency commission to the San Francisco Redevelopment Agency for Tuesday, September 17, 2019. Welcome to members of the public. Madam Secretary, please call the first item.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. The first order of business is item one, roll call. Commission members, please respond when I call your name. Commissioner Brackett is absent. Commissioner Scott?
Here.
Vice Chair Rosales?
Here.
Chair Bustos?
Here.
Commissioner Brackett is absent and all other members of the commission are present. The next order of business is item two, announcements. The next regularly scheduled meeting will be held on October 1st, 2019 at 1 p.m. City Hall, Room 416. B, announcement of prohibition of sound-producing electronic devices during the meeting. Please be advised that the ringing of and the use of cell phones, pagers, and similar sound-producing electronic devices are prohibited at this meeting. Please be advised that the chair may remove from the meeting room of any persons responsible for the ringing of or use of a cell phone, pager, or any other similar sound-producing electronic device. C, announcement of time allotment for public comments. Please be advised a member of the public has up to 3 minutes to make pertinent public comments on each agenda item unless the commission adopts a shorter period on any item. It is strongly recommended that members of the public who wish to address the commission fill out a speaker card and submit the completed card to the commission secretary. The next order of business is item three, report on actions taken at a previous closed session meeting, if any. There are no reportable actions. The next order of business is item four, matters of unfinished business. There are no matters of unfinished business. The next order of business is item five, matters of new business consisting of consent and regular agenda. First, a consent agenda. Agenda item 5A, approval of minutes from the regular meetings of July 16th and August 6, 2019. Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you. Do we have any speaker cards for the consent?
No speaker cards for this item.
No speaker cards. Closed public comment. Fellow commissioners, do we have any comments, edits to the minutes?
No.
Of July 16 and August 6? No?
No.
May I have a motion?
Yes, I move that the minutes be accepted as read.
The motion has been made by Commissioner Scott, seconded by President Bustos. Please call the roll.
Commission members, please announce your vote when I call your name. Commissioner Brackett is absent. Commissioner Scott?
Yes.
Chair Bustos?
Yes.
Vice Chair Rosales?
Yes.
Madam Vice Chair, the vote is 3 ayes, 1 absent.
The consent agenda is adopted. Madam Secretary, can you please call the next item?
The next order of business is regular agenda item 5B, authorizing a fourth grant disbursement agreement with the Mexican Museum, a California nonprofit corporation, and 706 Mission Street Co. LLC, a Delaware limited liability company in an amount not to exceed $1 million for tenant improvements for a new museum facility at the 706 Mission Street project pursuant to a December 14, 2010 grant agreement between the museum and the successor agency. Former Yerba Buena Center Project Area Discussion and Action, Resolution Number 24-2019. Madam Director.
Thank you. Through the chair, this item before you is a request for disbursement. Since the approval of the grant agreement, we've had three disbursements, and this will be the fourth. And the request before is for $1 million to assist with a partial funding of the museum facade. With that, we have representatives here, but Hildy Mayer will be presenting on this item.
Thank you, Director Sasse. Good afternoon. Chair Bustos, Vice Chair Rosales, and Commissioner Scott. I'm Hildy Mile, Development Services Manager for OCII, and I'm here before you today to present the grant funding request. With me, as Director Sasse referenced, are representatives from both the Mexican Museum and 706 Mission Street Co., which is the affiliate of Millennium Partners, the developer for the 706 Mission Project. So I'd like to introduce Andrew Kluger, who is the chair, there he is, of the Board of Directors of the Mexican Museum, and Mark Farrar from 706 Mission Street Co. He is the project manager. I'll provide a brief overview of the project and the current grant disbursement request, and then turn it over for discussion. As you know, let me advance. Oh, do I have a presentation? There we go. The project's located in the Yerba Buena Center, which the agency helped assemble and develop over the years into the cultural district that you know today. The last remaining undeveloped parcel is the Mexican Museum site, and that's shown here on Central Block 1. So here's an aerial view. In red, you'll see the outline of the 706 Mission site, which combines the original museum site with the 706 Mission Aronson building that was purchased by Millennium Partners. There's a long trajectory to the history of this project, but I'll bring you up to the present, which is in 2013, OCII entered into a purchase and sale agreement with Millennium for the conveyance of our property for a mixed-use project on that combined site. And the project started construction in 2016. So an overview of the development program for this project includes 190 units of condominiums and a 480-foot tower, and the build-out of the core and shell of about a 48,000 square foot museum space in four floors. The developer is responsible for building that cold shell and then transferring that to the city. Also a part of the project is the historical preservation of the Aronson building and the ownership and operation of the Jesse Square Garage. So there you see renderings of the project. So as I mentioned, this is the last project in fulfillment of the Yerba Buena Cultural District. We contributed the land and the garage. The developer provides significant community benefits, including the construction of the core and shell of this museum space. When it's completed, it will be deeded over to the city, and the city will in turn lease it to the museum. The Mexican Museum will be responsible for the design and construction of its tenant improvements. OCII has approximately $7.8 million available to fund those. The balance will be the responsibility of the museum. Here's a recent photo showing construction of the tower. In terms of status today, the construction completion is anticipated in 2020, with initial delivery of the residential condominium units in approximately April or May of this year, and delivery of the museum space to the city in the summer of 2020. In terms of the public art, when the project was approved, it was approved by the city's planning department, and it had to meet the requirements under the planning code, including Article 4, which was the provision of either on-site public art or a contribution. And the developer and the museum jointly proposed that the public art fee be applied to a facade screen, which was a unique public artwork worth approximately $3 million. So here's a rendering of the facade screen. It's basically wraps the four-story cultural condominium. And that brings us to the facade, the grant request today. So the former agency and museum entered into a grant agreement in 2010 to help fund the museum's portions of its costs for the tenant improvements for this mixed-use project within the 706 Mission project. The total grant agreement amount was $10.5 million approximately. Approximately $2.78 has been disbursed for pre-development costs to date, and there's approximately $7.8 left. Of that, the current request would utilize $1 million to fund the museum's portion of the facade screen. The grant agreement itself has a 10-year term, expires in December of 2020. So the joint request that's before you today would be to access funds for the museum's portion of the facade screen. So in light of the fact that the developer has taken on the obligation for the design, fabrication, and construction of the facade screen, the proposed fourth grant disbursement agreement would disperse $1 million of grant funds directly to the developer on behalf of the museum pursuant to the budget contained in the disbursement agreement. The final budget for the total cost of the facade screen is approximately $3.6 million. The developer would be contributing their public art fee plus some cost allowance savings for approximately $2.6 million, and the museum would contribute the remaining amount of $1 million through this grant disbursement agreement. The grant agreement, disbursement agreement itself, includes provisions related to the compliance with all of OCII's policies and programs, including the Small Business Enterprise Program, which both the museum and the developer are complying with. And they've been working closely with our contract compliance team to date. So the approval of the fourth grant disbursement agreement would be in compliance and furtherance of the 2010 grant agreement. The proposed use of funds is consistent with the grant, and the fourth disbursement agreement would include or does include a budget and the roles and responsibilities of each party and the mechanisms for disbursement and compliance. If the Commission approves this request, the parties would move forward to complete the facade screen and disburse the $1 million in funds by the summer of June 2020. So this concludes staff's presentation. Thanks for your time, and we're available to answer any questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Madam Secretary, do we have any cards?
Yes, we have Oscar James.
Good afternoon, Commissioners, Director. My name is Oscar James. I'm a native resident of Bayview Hunters Point, San Francisco, California. When this proposal was first brought to the Redevelopment Agency in 2010, I may be wrong, but it seemed like it was longer than that, Ramon was one of the commissioners that was sitting up there at that particular time. We had other commissioners sitting up there at the same time. But it was a lot of people didn't want this to come to fruition. But I stated then, and I'm stating now, that this city should allow any race, religion, have an arts commission if they desire to have an arts commission in the city and county of San Francisco. And it was a big fight about some of the commissioners didn't want it, but it did pass. This city, San Francisco, is built on the Mexican Americans in the city and county of San Francisco and this country as a whole, before the Mexican War, before the Alamo, all this was Mexican territory. They have a right to have a museum here in San Francisco. Only thing I ask for them to do is give some of the history of San Francisco and what San Francisco mean to the whole United States, what they've done here in San Francisco. All those people who's trying to come back to California, Mexican Americans, they deserve to have the right to be here. This is their country first. I don't care what kind of war takes place, where you move peoples out, what have you. This is their land. If you go to Mission Dolores, you have a lot of Mexican Americans who built Mission Dolores. The country didn't start in 1776. It was way before 1776. And they were here. So I would like for them to give the history of the Bay Area, the fights that they've done in San Francisco, how they made San Francisco, San Francisco, before Gold Rush and all the other things. I'm just glad that this is happening. To me, it's taking too long. And I give all dittos to the Mexican American peoples. God bless you all.
Thank you.
No more speaker cards.
Thank you. Public comment is closed. I now turn to my fellow commissioners. Do we have any questions for staff? Comments?
I have no questions, just the comments that I am thankful for the work you've done and the plans that you have in going forward. And I totally agree with Mr. Oster James, and I'm thankful for Ms. Hilda Scott. Thank you for your report. Yes. I approve.
Yeah, so this is a motion?
Yes, I'd like to move that we authorize a fourth grant disbursement agreement with the Mexican Museum.
Okay. I have a question. Is there a second? Chair Bustos is a second. I have a question. I didn't see it in the packet about the small business participation. I think the numbers are impressive. I would like to know who the professional services providers are.
Raymond Lee, Contract Compliance Supervisor, OCII. The project started off with a consultant team of about 12 consulting firms with a participation of 66.8%. Mm-hmm. There was a joint venture with Fao Long and AD Architecture. I do want to note, however, that because of the duration of time and changes in some of the firms, Fao Long, as an example, has been now merged with Perkins and Wills. The joint venture is no longer in effect. We have been in recent conversations with the Mexican Museum, their attorney, in terms of looking at their replacement. What has been brought forth to us is a Hispanic firm, Gutierrez and Associates, as a replacement for the architect. But we expect that the participation will remain above 50%.
Thank you. And then on construction, I guess I'm reading 22.9. Is that accurate?
That is correct. This is the construction of the tower itself, not the Mexican Museum.
I see.
The museum itself will be putting forth bids when the leaseholds are contemplated.
Okay. So do you have a comment as to why it's 22.9%? Seems kind of low for, is it just because of the nature of the work?
It unfortunately is. It has to do a lot with the tower constructions that we've talked about in recent periods, mm-hmm. And just the magnitude of work and the different type of work with respect to type one construction with structural steels. The participation of small businesses is, while there are quite a number of small businesses, their level of participation just isn't at that 50%. I do show approximately 30 small businesses that are participating. But to give you an example, the largest package that I see in terms of dollar amounts is about $7.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would like to have a report, not at this time, but you know, typically the kind that we receive with our packages of the names of the subcontractors.
The details.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. The item has been moved by Commissioner Scott and seconded by Chair Bustos. Can you please call the roll?
Commission members, please announce your vote when I call your name. Commissioner Brackett is absent. Commissioner Scott.
Yes.
Chair Bustos.
Yes.
Vice Chair Rosales.
Yes.
Madam Vice Chair, the vote is 3 ayes, 1 absent.
The item has been approved. Thank you. Please call the next item.
The next order of business is agenda item 5C, workshop on the amendment to the recognized obligation payment schedule for January 1st, 2020 to June 30, 2020, including the administrative budget for the successor agency and supporting documentation. Madam Director.
Thank you. Through the chair, the item before you is an amendment to the RUPS 1920. Back in January, we had held a workshop and for the commission, as well as a workshop and approval in January for submittal to the Department of Finance by February 1. We did submit, but we got feedback in terms of specific requests related to our pledge agreements that in instances where we do estimates, we had allowed through notes in the recognized obligation payment schedule for the controller to transfer actual receipts. In DOF's response back to us in approving the ROPS, they gave us feedback that that is not allowed. If we needed to, we would have to. Approved ROPS does not allow us to instruct the controller to disburse to the OCI agency over what was approved. So what we're proposing to do today is have the commission just hear the item, which is subject to Oversight Board approval, on that ask that we're making to Department of Finance on based on new information from the controller with under the certificate of assessed valuation that shows an increase in property tax revenues generated in the three project areas beyond what was in the original approved ROPS. So today we'll be working through just those specific line items and changes we're proposing with regards to the amendment of the ROPS. We're typically allowed to do this in September for submittal in October. With that, I'll have Mina Yu present on the item.
Good afternoon, Director Sasse, Chair Bustos, Vice Chair Rosales, and Commissioners. Again, my name is Mina Yu. I'm the Financial Reporting and Management Analyst for OCII, and I'll be presenting on the workshop for the ROPS amendment. So AB 26 required the successor agencies to create the ROPS, and SB 107 revised the time periods and authorized the Oversight Board to amend the ROPS once per the 12-month period, no later than October 1st. So we submitted the ROPS to the Department of Finance on February 1st. We received approval on May 17th. On the 9th, we presented the workshop to the Oversight Board. We're here before you presenting the workshop on the amendment. The Oversight Board will be taking action on the 23rd and will be submitting the amendment to the Department of Finance by the end of the month. This is just a reminder of the funding sources on the ROPS. So we have the bond proceeds, reserved balances, other, which includes developer payments and grants, and we have the Redevelopment Property Tax Trust Fund, admin and non-admin. So you can see here that the total requested increase is $53.24 million. All of this is in RPTTF non-admin. Again, it was when we submitted our ROPS earlier this year, we had used estimates, but then we received the finalized property tax roll from the assessors in August 2019, so we are amending our ROPS to reflect those updated figures. Previously, we had just used straight-line projections for our estimates, but we've had a number of projects come online. We've also built a model for more robust property tax increment calculations and projections moving forward. So again, the total increase is $53.24 million, which brings the total to $461.15 million, and this will be used for the construction of infrastructure and affordable housing in our project areas. This table shows the requested increase by our uses. So we have 15.33 in our affordable housing pledge increase, and this will be used to fund projects in our pipeline for future years. We also have the remainder of the increase will be used to reimburse developers for infrastructure already constructed in our project areas. So this table just breaks out the housing increase of 15.33 million across our different project areas. Again, it's used to pay for OCII-funded affordable housing. Here we're just showing the increases by our different project areas. Again, this will be used to reimburse our development partners for infrastructure costs already incurred. And we wanted to show the net impact to our different project areas. So here we have a table showing the impact in Mission Bay. You can see that the 34.38 is really driving the requested increase, and this is because of some major projects like the Chase Center and the Uber office building that would be coming online. Here we're showing the net impact to Transbay. This is reflecting recent project completions, and the Transbay infrastructure pledge in line 102 will be transferred to the TJP to support the terminal. Here we have the increase to the shipyard, Hunters Point Shipyard, Candlestick Point. It's a 0.9 million increase, and it's the smallest, and this primarily just reflects an adjustment for inflation and growth. So the flow of funds is that off the gross tax increment amount, 20% off the top goes to taxing entities, 20% goes to OCII housing, and the remainder falls to OCII infrastructure. So this growth that we are requesting in our amendment will not adversely impact the taxing entities because these shares remain constant. Additionally, there's no budget amendment required because it's only an increase in the revenues and not the expenditures, and budget amendments are only required for changes in expenditures. So these funds will essentially fall to fund balance and be programmed for our out years. This is just next steps. So on the 23rd, the Oversight Board will take action on the item. We will submit our amendment to DOF on September 30th, and DOF will notify us of their decision on December 16th. And that concludes the presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any speaker cards?
We have one speaker card, Oscar James.
Mr. James is waving?
He said he's okay.
Oh, okay.
He's both waving declined. Hello and goodbye and also waving his right to.
So no more speaker cards.
Okay. So this is a workshop. No, there's no action. This is an opportunity for questions, for comments, reflections. Commissioners?
No questions?
No?
Thank you for your report, Mina.
Mm-hmm. So I guess the only question I have, because just because it's a nagging question, this is essentially money in.
Yes.
Okay.
It's an increase in our revenues.
Right. So it's not estimated to come in. It is actual money that has been, it's scheduled to be collected or has been collected.
Yes, so we have collections from August, and then it is an estimate for January.
Okay.
But it's a more robust estimate than we had initially submitted in our original ROBS.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I think you addressed this, and it's just kind of a curiosity. Is it that our original projections were more on the conservative side because, you know, there's lots of things that can happen during a year?
Yes, it was on the more conservative side, and we had done this also in the fall of 2018. And previously, you know, as Director Sasse mentioned, we would include in our RUPS notes that these are estimates, but anything over would still be distributed to us. But because of DOF's decision to keep it to what is actually requested in the RUPS, we sort of revisited our assumptions about our estimates moving forward.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, because obviously if we can capture as much as possible, it's better to have it on the front end.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, I think it's very impressive, actually, when you look at this picture. Every area has increased. Okay, so I don't have any other questions. So it's a no action item. But thank you.
Thank you.
Can you please call the next item?
The next order of business is item 6, public comment on non-agenda item. I have one speaker card, Oscar James.
Oscar James again. I don't want to take up too much of you guys' time on that last agenda, but what I want to speak on, we're having a meeting Thursday night pertaining to the seawall. That's going around the city, and the city is going to do their part, but the Navy have not committed to putting the seawall up in the shipyard. So I want to bring that to you guys' attention, that we need a seawall in the Hunters Point shipyard. So when it comes up, the community brings back their thing, we would like for you guys to support it. The other thing I do and I've done for years, things that really matter to me about Bellevue Hunters Point or any area for that goes, I always get their package. And besides getting the package, I also go downstairs and I get a DVD. So they stopped making DVDs, and Oscar James is not up to the thing of recording. So I would like for you guys to have them downstairs make DVDs for the public, because I keep my record. When I come up here and speak, or someone come up here and speak, I can go back to that DVD and say what was yay or what was nay. It's important to me to be able to say what happened in these meetings, and I've been coming to these meetings over 40 years. I've came when it was no minorities on this commission. We flipped over desks and everything else to get you guys here, our communities, both Western Addition and Hunters Point. And I'm proud of what the outcome has came to be. But I need to have a record, just like if someone say today what happened in the Hunters Point Shipyard when it first closed, I was on that task force, and when we wanted the city to come in and do it, the city only one wanted to do anything in the Hunters Point Shipyard is Mr. Soule, who was the port director at that particular time. And only thing he wanted to do was bring 100-car coal train in Hunters Point Shipyard. You know, we're already dealing with toxics and what have you. So we told him in a kind Hunters Point way where we didn't want that to transpire. So it went for about 4 or 5 years before the city ever decided they wanted to go into the Hunters Point Shipyard, because Hunters Point had came up then with different programs. We wanted to go into Hunters Point Shipyard, such as the Housing Development Corporation with Mr. Pitcher, with Enchon Village. The city decided they wanted to get Enchon Village, so they end up selling that. The Officers Club and the hotel restaurant for the Young Community Developers, a 9-story building now that's fenced off out at Partial E, which was not contaminated at that particular time. Different things we were trying to get then. So I can go back to those tapes and say what was said back then. It's important to me to have a record of OCI or the Redevelopment Agency on what you guys say or what you don't say. So when I get out into the community, and the good Lord give me another 70 years to be here, mm-hmm. I can tell what happened here at this commission and hope some young people start coming to these meetings so they can take it further. Because what you're doing is important and is good, and if we don't have a record out in our communities, what's happening? You know, it's no sense in us coming here. It's fruitless. So I would ask, I would beg, even though they're doing a good job downstairs, I still would like to get a DVD from them. You know, they told me how to go about on the thing and tape it. But like I said, I'm not into that. My grandkids is into that, and some of my young kids are into that, but I'm not, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to learn. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
No more speaker cards, Madam Vice Chair.
Okay, thank you for the comment. Please call the next item.
The next order of business is item 7, report of the chair.
I don't think the chair has a report.
The next order of business is item 8, report of the executive director. Madam Director.
None at this time, but I do want to acknowledge what a success it was. Since our last meeting, the Chase Center opened, and it was a huge success. They've had, subsequent to the opening, they've had a few concerts. Traffic continued to is being mitigated, so I want to thank everyone for their work on this. Thank you.
The next order of business is item 9, Commissioner's Questions and Matters. Madam Vice Chair.
Are there any questions or matters? I have a follow-up question only on, because I'm glad that you brought up the Chase Center, because I was reading that the concert, there was two concerts, I believe, where there was a game, a Giants game, and a concert. And I guess I saw that it was coming, but I didn't see the news reports yet about how it went. But it sounds like it went fine.
You said it went fine.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. I think SFO took all the news.
Yes, I did see that as well. Excellent. Okay. That's it?
All right.
Yes, yes, Commissioner.
The only thing I noticed, there was a news report on TV where the transportation traffic in the Bayview, we were to get more trains, and instead they took away trains from the Bayview to take care of the Mission Bay and those that were commuting to the game.
Oh.
So our supervisor, Shimon, has addressed that.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't see that. Okay, so a redeployment of trains, it sounds like. Okay. Next item, please.
The next order of business is item 10, closed session. There are no closed session items. The next order of business is item 11, adjournment. Madam Vice Chair.
I don't think I need a motion for this, but it's 1:35, and the meeting is adjourned.